the COVID story I most want the post-pandemic future to know might be titled Horrified by the State of the World Now, but also Living in It. I'm in a nearby apartment building where several friends live. There's a large, pleasant garden. This was my refuge, my escape from the all-too-familiar walls of my apartment, and the place where I spent many hours during lockdown, enjoying the company of people I care about. Yes, it was an escape from the misery, the systemic cruelty, and the desperation that I witnessed every time I walked through my neighborhood, which is Harlem. These experiences were clarified and focused for me by Black liberation, which was also occurring simultaneously. And during 2020, the garden, and afterwards still, the garden remained a restorative place for me. But increasingly, my most meaningful connections occurred on Zoom as I began to connect with other people who were horrified by the systems of privilege that were even more starkly exposed by COVID. And this community of people working to understand and change the situation that's becoming ever more dire has become perhaps my most important source of energy and restoration. Okay, congratulations. I hope this, I'll be very interested to see how this develops. Bye.
Thank you. This is a call to my late wife, Grizel. Dear Grizel, I've been thinking a lot about you of recent late. I'm wondering how you are. It's been so long since I saw you, touched you, saw you in my dreams. I wrote a poem that a little while ago, I'd like to read it to you now. Come into my walk, dark dream, you say. A figment of my imagination or a genuine invitation to a new world? I can't gain entry. The ferryman's passage is one way only. Your journey was prepaid, a golden coin in your mouth. A predestined voyage so well deserved. Oh, how I wish for this tyranny of pleasure to heighten my dreams with imagination and delight. But presently I'm blunted, partially by booze, but more through emotional exhaustion, my affect clawing for a way out. Rarely do I dream at night or in the dawn reflection of the waking hours of a new day. Instead, I find you reincarnated in stinging birds every time I set out in front of the door. I answer back and look for you to make yourself known. But you are everywhere. Thank you.
I worked my whole life at offices around Manhattan, and all I did was commute and go to work and really didn't do much else. And so when the pandemic happened and I could work from home, it changed my life. I finally didn't have to spend my whole time wondering how to get to work and how to get home. I'm really thankful. I really don't understand why we couldn't have done it years ago. I have to go back to the office next week, and I don't know why. Everything's been working just fine. I'm given digital files, and I work on them at home, just like I did at work. It really doesn't make any sense.
Hi, this is my feelings of COVID-19. Cold, sad, bluesy. Couldn't get things done the way I wanted it to be done. Inconvenience stopped my flow.
Hi, I am in Brooklyn, and early in the pandemic, when things were going south in New York City, I contracted COVID. And for the first 7 or 8 days, it felt like a regular flu. Not good, but not exceptional. And then day 9 through 14 or 15 was very unpleasant. My symptoms would swing from feeling like maybe I was recovering to intense malaise, headaches, slight fever, you know, everything that we know. But it was really wild. I was impressed, actually, with COVID. So day 13 or so was April 1st, and I packed a suitcase for Baltimore that day. I could feel my breathing get worse. I knew the hospitals were burdened with people sicker than me. But still, I was a little scared. So I went online and I looked up the closest city that didn't seem too bad, and I settled on Baltimore. I told my wife, tomorrow we may drive to Baltimore. As it happened, tomorrow was April 2nd, which was my 50th birthday. And that afternoon, while sitting near a window in the sun, my wife brought me a laptop with a Zoom call of about 12 of my friends. It was a surprise, and everyone, I think, endeavored to ignore how lousy I felt. It was the best, worst birthday I've ever had, and I hope I'll never have such a birthday again, nor anyone else will. Goodbye.
Thank you. Nobody could just be me.
Love you.
A few weeks ago in March, my 8-year-old grandson, actually my 10-year-old grandson, who was 8 in 2020, told me, "Oma, I remember March 15th, 2020, when my mom told me that school would be closed all the way to April." He looked at me that time too, a few weeks ago, and with a look that I've never seen him use. It was a look full of sadness and of understanding of the irony of what he was saying. School would be closed until April. You know what I mean? It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. The world was no longer predictable. It was a look that showed that he kind of lost his trust in the world, in knowing what would happen and being able to make plans. 2 years of this short life, he's now 10, and he's already understood that things happen that are completely out of his parents' control, out of the control of his teachers. I guess he's learned something from this pandemic, and I've learned something. But that connection with that look of irony and sadness, that moment that we shared, is something that I will not forget.
Hi. During the COVID-19 pandemic, I helped my mom set up Zoom on her computer because one of her friends passed away in early 2020 and they were streaming the funeral online. Subsequently, 7 of her peers who were in their late 70s and 80s also passed away either from COVID or complications related to COVID. And because my mom was unable to attend the funerals, since funerals during the pandemic were being limited either to family members or they weren't allowing any funeral gatherings at all, they were streaming services online. I recall one service in particular when we weren't able to get the streaming link from our cousins, and we were emailing the church directly. And when the service was about to start, we were frantic because our mother did not want to miss it. And at that moment, the church officer emailed us the Zoom link, and we were able to watch. And it was particularly heartbreaking because the person, our cousin who had passed away, was an older gentleman, and the minister said, but for the pandemic, the church would have been full of people coming to memorialize this really considerate, kind, intelligent man's life. So my feelings that I really did not have the time to process during the pandemic, because each day was filled with an abundance of actions to take in working and remaining calm, in trying not to get sick if I went to the grocery store to buy groceries, being calm about standing in line for an hour or two, particularly to get into Trader Joe's. The lines, which are normally at least a half an hour long, were just down the block or wrapped around the parking lot. And so a lot of feelings of anxiety and sadness and grief and anger that I could not process, I'm now finally feeling now in 2022. So I just want to share that I attended 8 funerals on Zoom with my mother in 2020 and 2021. And it's only now that I can really feel the heartbreak and process the grief. So thank you for listening.
When COVID hit, it was the freakiest thing. I mean, I just remember staring at the news and I just couldn't believe it. It was so bizarre. My children were in elementary at the time, and it was actually kind of nice to have them home, but it became a challenge after I had to, you know, work from home and manage them homeschooling through the computer. I'm just so grateful that everybody got through it.
Most of the pandemic was pretty wild. I mostly stayed indoors for the majority of it. I never went out. I never, you know, I just followed all the protocols. But the one thing that I was scared of was when my dad went to work, because he was helping the first responders. And, you know, he was close in contact with, like, the doctors and the nurses. So knowing that they are helping COVID patients and that he's, you know, in contact with them, it was pretty scary. And It was just weird and crazy, like him coming home late at night and then, you know, having to be away from him when we're used to talking to each other, like, hey, how was your day? And he couldn't eat dinner with us sometimes, so it was kind of difficult at first, but it was slowly getting better as he didn't have to do much work with them, and it was fine at that time.
My COVID story is that a couple of years before the pandemic, I was diagnosed with myalgic encephalomyelitis, or ME/CFS, also known as chronic fatigue syndrome. And I had been living in a reduced capacity for at least a couple of years, thankfully still on the mild side as far as ME/CFS goes, but I had already been, you know, restricting some of my movements, taking extra precautions so as not to get other viruses or get sick in any way, changing, you know, diet and other behaviors. And so for me, in many ways, the pandemic was really a time where I
I felt like the rest of the world was kind of catching up to where I was in terms of paying attention to viruses, paying attention to our health, and learning to slow down a bit. For me, ironically, despite all of the terrible aspects of this pandemic, it was kind of a restorative time. It was a time where I was forced to slow down, and was, you know, kind of relieved of the social pressures of trying to do too much, that actually has helped me heal a bit alongside many other interventions as well. You know, as someone with ME/CFS, I was on particular alert during especially the height of the pandemic, trying not to get infected, as I was worried that, you know, already having one post-viral condition, that any infection might kind of set that off. I was especially worried about long COVID because there were so many overlaps with ME/CFS, and I knew, you know, what this could do both to my body and to other loved ones. Thank you for this project.
Hi. I just wanted to let you know that the police can lie to you in an interrogation about evidence that they have. So don't believe them if they say that they found your skin sample somewhere or a piece of your hair or DNA or anything like that, because they're lying to you. Don't confess to something you didn't do. When the jury watches your tape, they should have to watch the whole thing. If the interrogation takes 16 hours, 16 hours of your trial should be watching the interrogation tape. No expedience, none of it. No, you're not going to expedite a conviction. It takes time. It's durational. Also, don't waive your Miranda rights. Jesus Christ, get a fucking lawyer.
What I recall that was very, very impactful for me during COVID, especially in the height of the pandemic, when our children, we have several, had to jump off and go into Zoom mode and lose contact with their friends. And but I realized I knew right away that this was going to be really hard for them emotionally and psychologically. And for myself, I felt like I had no time to think about myself or my own feelings, my fears, my worry about getting sick. I focused mainly on keeping my kids psychologically well and emotionally well, which was a huge, huge undertaking. It was very overwhelming, and only until recently I started to unpack my own state of being during and now semi-post-pandemic, or the height of the pandemic. And so the idea that, you know, kids losing their sense of self and having lost some kind of social skills for me was the most priority, that they don't end up having fear of going outside or fear of taking off their masks. There was this very, very specific goal set for myself that I have to make sure that they stay normal.
My experience with COVID during the pandemic has been quite interesting. It really has allowed me to reflect and understand the importance of life and just life itself. As for me, I was able to focus on things that I had not had the opportunity to do, and really appreciate life. And during the pandemic, it was difficult. I'm sure it was quite difficult for most people, regardless to which state or country they lived in. But here in New York, it was quite intense. And I choose to use my free time during the lockdown to write, to create art, to focus on positive things and really focus on what can we do to create a better world, not only for myself, but for others, and to inspire other human beings to be a positive influence on this great universe that we live in.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, set up with a gambler, you both two times speak. So I handed him my bottle, and he drank down my last swallow. Then he burned a cigarette and asked me for a light. He said, son, I made a life out of reading people's faces, knowing what the car tells by the way they held their eyes. Somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. You're out of aces. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough to count when the deal is done. You got to know when to hold them, when to hold them. Know when to fall, when to fold them. Know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the deal is done.
Hey there. I'm not sure I've got a story per se about the pandemic, but I have something that I wanted to share that I thought, I don't know, at least it was an enlightening thing for me. And I'm lucky enough that I was out of work during the pandemic. I'm a musician. Was out of work and was able to still survive because of my unemployment, and was on a little bit of a stipend sort of thing for my job. And my wife was working still, and so we were able to hang in there. And I spent a considerable amount of time and money studying to work in another field and learn a new skill, thinking the worst of things, that my work wouldn't come back and I'd have to do something else. And while I'm happy I learned this skill and it taught me a lot about the world, and I'm continuing a little bit to learn on the side about it, I'm disappointed in myself for choosing basically money over art. I could have spent that time growing my craft in a new way, which I tried to do also, but I spent a considerable amount of time trying to learn something new because I was afraid. And I'm going to try to live the rest of my life in a different way and be brave and not afraid and try to make the world understand that it needs art more than it knows. And that's my lesson from the pandemic. Thanks for doing this. Bye.
My zip code is 110. In the beginning of the pandemic, as an essential healthcare worker who worked the night shift, what I experienced during the pandemic was surreal. No one believed that the pandemic was this serious. In a hospital, we treat people for almost all ailments, disease, some more deadlier than others. But by the end of January 2020, eyewitness myself, body bags piling up, refrigeration trailers outside the hospital, bodies inside. Yet we had to remain strong, resolute, not only for ourselves and for our patients, but for our families and the people in the community. This was the hope, the light that they needed to see to guard against the fears that they were up against. This was my experience during the pandemic.
Talking with Khalifa, Young, Wild, and Free, featuring Bruno Mars.